faith. And why we sometimes remember the garden is because he didn't want to go through it. As a man, he didn't want to go through it. But as the Son of God, he knew he had to. Why? So that every person in this room can know total forgiveness and cleansing and can enter into eternal life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Today, I want you to help me create the talk. Good. I don't want anything up just yet. Oh, just the title. Here we are. It's, what's it going to say? Don't know, really. But Chris will put it up in a minute. But I want you to help me. So I'm going to ask some of you to stand up at different times in a group, so you won't be just on your own. And I want you to speak out some words. There'll be the words from that song, which is why we sang it. Okay. This is what we're looking at today, I hope. And not just looking at it with our minds, but I pray in Jesus' name that you get it in your spirit. And it will grow. That's why I've tried to be clever there, say. Let's believe in the resurrecting power of Jesus. How many of you believe in it? Okay, let it grow in us, that belief. I have a memory of my father-in-law who had just died. He'd just died. And I looked at him. And he had the biggest smile on his face that I'd ever seen him have. For those of you who are old and remember him as Ken Jones was my father-in-law. He had such a smile. And I said to the Lord, do you want me to pray that he'll come back to life, Lord? And the Lord said to me, look at him. Look at him. And he gave me a verse from Scripture that says, that it's in John, the prayer of Jesus, where Jesus says, Lord, I want my children to understand and be with me in glory. And immediately I knew that Ken had lived his life. And Ken was 89, I believe. Marilyn will correct me if she was here, but she's with the children today. So I don't get corrected, although you are allowed to. Okay? Permission. But you know, I've seen people come alive again. That's been such a privilege. Both those who've died and those who've been dead in other ways completely come alive. And because I know lots of your stories, I know what's happened in your lives. And you are a testimony to that resurrecting power. Jesus said, this generation will get no other sign than the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah? In the belly of a whale for 3 days. He was not resurrected out of the grave. He was spewed out of a large fish, wasn't he? But that's the sign that Jesus gives. And when something happens in your life and my life that brings us back to life again, that's the sign that Jesus will give to this wicked generation. Hallelujah. We better move on, otherwise you'll be here until 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and then you'll rock. Right. Some older people will know where that's coming from. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to a picture. Up there somewhere. It's a picture of what happened on Easter Sunday. Oh, it's frozen. We'll get there in the end. I tell you what, are we there or not? No, we're not there. Hey! Oh, I shouldn't have laughed. So there it is. As we did in the little quiz that Ben had done, John got to the tomb first, it says, because he was writing the story, and he waited at the entrance. But Peter runs, gets into the tomb, and he sees the grave clothes. Not like that in that picture, actually. They were all folded up neatly. I like that. Because Jesus tidied, you know, the bed, as it were, before he went. But that was the shock. Peter looks, and as I put this, can this be? Well, they knew that Jesus had predicted it, but the shock. The next picture, because that was early in the morning, in the evening of that first day, Jesus appears. And he proves he's alive. He proves he's not a ghost. He proves this is true. Look, he says, see where the nails pierce my hand. See my side. The resurrecting power of Jesus was evident to all. But then there was Thomas who wasn't there, and then Jesus did the same to him. And Jesus said, Thomas, you wanted to see me. You wanted to see this. And Thomas not only saw it, but he put his fingers where the nails were. He put his hand into the wound at the side of Jesus. Do you know, our resurrected King is in heaven, but the scripture says he's like a lamb that is slain, because the scars that cost him such pain and agony, the scars that remain on his body, even in heaven, will remind us forever of our eternal salvation. I think he needs a round of applause, don't you? Would you like to applaud the Lord Jesus? And I was a bit upset because I saw Esther playing the drum, and Alex kind of stopped her. But there was when she started playing the drum, it was to do with praise, wasn't it? We were praising him for what he'd done. We were making a noise, and she was making a noise as well. And Jesus likes little children to make a lot of noise. Sometimes it's good when they tone it down a bit. I've got grandchildren that I need to say, just tone it down a bit, please. However, I'm distracting myself. I'm going to do what I do with the children sometimes on a Sunday, to teach them a verse. So we go on to the next verse. But you've got to tell me what you think goes in this verse. It's to do with praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in his great blank. He has blank us blank blank into a blank hope through the blank of Jesus Christ from the blank. Right, you could start at the end, if you like, because that's the easy bit. Well, perhaps it's not. Come on, let's have some ideas. Let's go to the first clue. In his great mercy, some people said. What else did other people say?
Love.
Okay, mercy is correct. What is mercy? Mercy is giving somebody what they don't deserve. Sorry if I'm shouting, is it all right? You're all right, okay. He's giving them something they don't deserve. In his mercy, in his great mercy, he has what? Granted. I don't know, because I haven't got the clues here. I need to know myself. He has what us? Given us is the answer. Given us. Now, what's he given us? After you see where given us, what comes next? The next two blanks. Pardon? The eternal life. He has, it's true. But this scripture doesn't say that. He says he's given us new birth into a living hope. Hey, through, now that bit should be easy. What comes next? Through the what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Next, let's get the answers up, please. Next one. Yeah.
I want you to stand now because I'm asking you to participate. Will you stand? We'll do what we do with our beloved Ben and read this truth. Okay, I'll get us started. We'll start with the word praise. Come on, praise. Who has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Right, you can sit down now, but you'll be up in a moment. The next slide, please. We sang a little while ago this amazing, I don't know whether it's called a chorus, but it was like a bridge. I don't know, I was going to say medically what it means, but I mean musically. Musically, anyway, we're there. It says, from the ashes of defeat, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. Now, how many of you have known what it's like to be defeated? Raise your hand, please. Wow. And if you put your hands down for the moment, if you know that because of your relationship with Jesus Christ and you've been born into given new birth and you've been born again, if you know that the King has helped you from defeat, would you now stand up, please? Wow, hallelujah. Now, I can look round this room and I can say, yes, I know what God's rescued him from, but I won't go round and tell everybody. I'm looking at my friend over here called Reese. Thank you very much. But look at you all. You know already the resurrected power has lifted you from defeat. And why I'm getting us to stand right now is because when we face defeat, will you remember today? When you were brought into another situation where you're thinking, wow. Would you just speak it to yourself now, that verse, and speak it to everybody, upstairs, downstairs, and wherever. Would you like to speak that out now? Ready? From the ashes of defeat, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. Come alive to declare. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Do sit down, thank you. I, in my privilege of working in a caring way within the church and in various charities, have seen many people in dire and difficult circumstances. It seemed hopeless to them. They were rejected and despised. They were cut off from people. They felt defeated, but the resurrecting King has lifted them. I was sorting out a few papers and I found a photograph of myself with some colleagues when the colleague of mine was retiring. And with the photograph, she'd sent a little thank you note. It said basically, thank you for your prayers. What had happened was that her sister-in-law, who was a head teacher in a school and suffering a lot of stress, as head teachers do, had had a completely horrible stroke. And in the morning when I arrived at work, I saw my boss, she was called Wendy, and I said, what's the matter, Wendy? So she told me about what had happened. And I obviously was very saddened to hear that she was saying, they don't know, she's still bleeding in her brain. We don't know what's going to happen. She may well die. And what I said to her, wasn't me really, because it was just inspiration from God. I said to her, well, I guess I can't go and pray with her there, but what I want to do is give you a handkerchief. And when you go and visit your, inverted commas, dying sister-in-law, I want you to take the handkerchief, and even though she can't understand, I want you to tell her that this handkerchief, and I've got my home group to pray over it as well, this handkerchief is to say that Jesus loves you and wants to heal you. And in this letter I had, this was about 3 years later, she said, "It is a miracle. My sister-in-law isn't working as a teacher anymore, but she's alive. My sister-in-law is walking again. She's talking again." She lost all that at that time. Hallelujah. Isn't God good?
All the time.
All the time. Hallelujah. His resurrecting power even came through a handkerchief that we prayed over. Can you imagine that? Because I believe what the Bible tells us. And it happened. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so she was saying, "Thank you. Your prayers have caused a miracle." Do you know, every one of you here, your prayers can cause a miracle to happen. I remember distinctly myself and Ben going to the children's hospital. You remember it, don't you, Ben? Praying for dear Alicia. I've heard in my business life, in my working for charities, of children suffering what Alicia suffered, and usually they die. But God was gracious, wasn't he? God did a miracle for Alicia. We prayed for her, and her mum prayed with her. Yeah, and wonderfully, she's a vibrant, beautiful teenage. No, not quite teenage. Or is she? Yes, she is a teenager now. Hallelujah. God is good. I'm getting distracted here, but I'll come back to some of those examples of resurrecting power. Oh, yes. Let's just read this together. The next slide. This is what I want us to get deep into our spirits. Let's say it together. In fact, if you want to stand, stand and say it. Go on. If the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give
life
who lives in you. Where does he give life? Not only into your spirit, thank you, do sit down, but into your mortal bodies. Whew. That means this body that will not go on forever, but he can give us life. Okay, next slide, please. How many of you, this, I want you to stand up, have experienced that horrible fear of death? How many of you have experienced that? If you have, just will you stand up now? The fear of death, the fear of disease, the fear of things going wrong in your life. It says here, what we sang, it says, that fear that held us can now give way because of the resurrection of Jesus. And I pray a blessing on you that throughout the rest of your life, you will know that resurrecting power. Let's all say this, the hit, all together, if you would, with me. The fear that held us now gives way to him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's another group of people that I want to get to stand up. Doesn't matter if you stood up all three times, because it happened to me all three times. That's why I'm doing this. But before we go on to the next one, I think I want to tell you a story. It's a beautiful story. If you want to check it out, it's in John chapter 5. There was this man who was unwell for 38 years, the Bible tells us. Fancy being ill for 38 years. No, you don't fancy it. It's just a horrible thought. 38 years. He was so poorly, the Bible says, he hadn't got the strength to stand, so he lay by a pool of Bethesda. And what he was hoping would happen was that the pool would be stirred. So from time to time, the waters in the pearl, in the pool, bubbled. And some people thought it was an angel turning up and going like this to the water and making it bubble up. Well, this man is lying there, and Jesus comes along, and Jesus sees him lying there and says, "Hey, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" And he says, "Yes, sir. I'd love to get well, but every time the water stirs, someone gets in first." Jesus doesn't respond to that, but I'm thinking, that isn't like God, is it? If only the first person who gets in the pool gets healed, that doesn't seem like our God who's rich in mercy, does it? But you know, quite a few people think others deserve the healing, I don't. You know that? Some people think like that. But there he is. So Jesus doesn't answer that question. He doesn't say, I'll help you in next time. Because, well, who's the source of the healing? And he's standing right there. And Jesus says, "I say to you, get up. Roll up your mat that you're lying on and go home." And do you know something happened at that moment? Because the Spirit of God came upon that man and gave him a gift of faith. And he did get up. And he did roll up his mat and went rejoicing home. It's interesting that a group of people said, "Yeah, mate, what are you doing carrying a mat on a Sunday, or Sabbath, sorry? What are you doing carrying a mat?" And he says, "Well, the man who's just healed me told me to." Well, they say, "Who's that person? Fancy breaking the Sabbath." Anyway, it's part of the story. So he finds out later that the person who told him to get up was Jesus. And he tells the Pharisees, "It was him, it was Jesus who told me to get up." Now, how many people here right now have been unwell for a long time? I hope not 38 years. But if you have, could you just stand up right now? That's the same. Thank you. Thank you. If you've had a long-standing illness, bless you. Bless you. You've just been given a gift of faith. I wasn't like Jesus saying, "Get up," or however Jesus said it. But I'm saying thank you for acknowledging that you need his healing power. And now, those of you who are sitting down, will you reach out to these lovely people as I pray? Lord Jesus Christ, it's in your name that miracles can happen. And I thank you for their obedience in acknowledging the fact that they need deliverance. Deliverance from their long-standing illness. Do a remarkable miracle in each of my friends here. May your name be glorified as they receive healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, wrecking. Okay. Don't use a musical stand to lean on. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Last week, it was only last week, God gave me a prophetic word. And the prophetic word that I brought into the church, for those of you who weren't here, I won't ask those of you here and forgotten it, but I've got to kind of remember it myself now. But basically God said he was pleased with us as a group of people when they, I think it's the next slide. Oh, that's what I've just been telling us, that one there. When you hold out the word of life, you know, lots of you did that on Saturday. Some of you did it on Friday when you walked on the walk of witness.
You were holding out the word of life. And the Lord was saying through me to us as a church, when you do that, I want to do spectacular things. I want to do remarkable things among you. Are you up for some remarkable things? Because the healing power of Jesus is promised to us. Promised to us. In fact, I need you, sorry, have you put the recording on? Good man, thank you. Do you want to go back 2 slides, please? I don't know quite where that will get us. The one, this is what we sang, the one who wore our sin and shame, bit of poetic here, he wore it, he took it upon himself, is now robed in majesty. The radiance of his perfect love now shines for all to see. You know, Jesus knew what he was doing when he chose to go to the cross. He took upon himself all our sin, all our shame. We no longer have to be in filthy rags. No longer we need to stand in that filth, because he bore it. And now the truth of the risen Saviour is he's now robed in majesty, not in filth, because he bore the punishment that we deserve. I'd like us, if you acknowledge that you're a sinner, which most of us probably do, us to just say this, to declare it over ourselves. Let's just speak this together. The one who sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love shines for all to see. May that be true, Lord, for this group of people here. May this be totally true, that they will be like stars shining for others to see because of their transformed life through the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Move on a bit now. We'll go back a little bit. That's the story I told us. And I've reminded us of that, holding out. So I don't know what the next bit says, but I'll just check where it should be, because I've lost my place, really. Yes, let's go to the next 2 slides. First one first, though. All right. So in this case of the story, the man who brought the healing, wasn't the pool, it was Jesus. And I just get really upset when people look for the source of healing from somewhere else. All sorts of things offer healing. But Jesus is the source. And later on, when Jesus talks to the Pharisees who are accusing him of breaking the Sabbath, he says this. This one. Yeah. This is what Jesus said. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear, and the voice of the Son of will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. The time is coming and has now come. Jesus, not long after, went to a village with his disciples, to a place called Nain. And let's imagine, can I have a group of people just follow me now? You're going to be people from Nain. So half a dozen people, I'm imagining I'm Jesus here, which is a hard thing to do because I know myself well. But if you want to be a crowd of people, just come and join me. If you would, just come down this aisle. Okay, are you ready? And at the same time, the scripture tells us, if you just wait there a second, just wait there, you're the crowd. And how many we got? 1, 2, 3. Oh, can I have 2 more, please? Come on, Wah. And I'll want 8 people from over here who represent a crowd from this side. Will you represent a crowd of people? Okay.
So did I say you were the people from Nain?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Now, it's going to be quite hard here. We need a strong person. Who's the strongest person in here? Ben? No, you don't want to hurt your back? Okay, we're going to carry him. Not really. No, we're imagining. We're going to carry... Yeah, he's the strongest person, but unfortunately, I'm going to be Jesus with this group of my disciples, and you're going to carry a dead man, that's Joe, you're going to bring him in a coffin, okay? Because Jesus and his disciples here didn't really know what was going to happen. Jesus did, but this group of disciples didn't. So at the same time that we approach this visit, this village, and dear Andrea is the gate of the village, okay? So we're going to walk to Andrea, okay? And you are coming this way out of the village. You can come now. Come on, follow me, disciples. You're meant to follow me, okay? And here's the dead man, and we just come along happily like this, and Jesus stops, and the disciples, come on, catch up, disciples, please. Jesus then, he says, who's going to be his mum? Oh, you're your mum. Yeah, sorry. That would be appropriate, wouldn't it? Jesus says, what's going on here? And the gate says to me, this is a funeral for her only son. She is probably some other part. So there's this big crowd of people coming this way, and Jesus and his disciples coming this way, and Jesus says, don't cry. Even though he knows that she's a widow and she's lost her only son. What does Jesus do? Does anybody know what he did? Yes, he did do that. But what did he do first? He went up to the coffin, just to help you, and he touched the coffin. That's a fun thing to do. And he said, probably it was an open coffin, actually. So he touched the outside of the coffin, and he said, young man, get up. And he did. And all this group were a bit astonished. Okay. Now, the rest of you, apart from mum and the young man that died, or now back to life, do go and sit down now. Because I'm going to ask Joe, or I'm going to ask Anna, if you were the widow, okay, that means you haven't got a husband, I guess, yes? If you're a widow. I know you have. Bless you, Chris. What would you feel like when your son died, Anna? Can you kind of think what it would be like if your son died? Well, you've already lost your husband.
I'd be devastated because who's going to earn the money?
Exactly right. Exactly right. Okay. That is so true. That's what that woman was crying about. Well, how am I going to look after myself? But they both met Jesus. Now, you can stay there and you can go and sit down, Mum. Yeah, so here they are, they both meet Jesus. And what have they got now? When Jesus turns up at Nain, what's they got? They've got a living hope. He's the living hope who's been raised back to the life. And you are representing not just the person in Nain, you are representing every young man that's linked with this church.
Amen.
And every young woman of, how old are you, 17?
17.
Because that's what they reckon he was. They started work at 14-ish, 12, 13, 14, when in Jesus' time. He was raised back to life. And prophetically, I'm saying, let's pray for the young men and women in our church. You can sit down now, bless you. Who have the resurrection of power of Jesus in them. Let's just pray for them now. Just pray generally. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I pray for every young person upstairs and who'd linked with our church. Lord, we pray in your name. Jesus, may your resurrecting power be alive in them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Keep on praying for them right now. And I want you to, some of you, to imagine your sons and your daughters who aren't with the Lord at the moment. Just reach out to them right now and say, Lord, may they receive. May they be impacted by meeting Jesus. Will you graciously bring life in your name? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Haven't finished with the stories. There's another story, because that's what Jesus did. You see, it says he said to the Pharisees, the time will come and now has come for the dead to hear. And they certainly heard, or the widow's son certainly heard Jesus say, get up. Did you notice the similarity to what he said to the man who was lying on the mat? Because Jesus' word has power. But anyway, another time. Jesus is, I won't get us to demonstrate with bodies here, but there's a massive crowd who meet Jesus when he gets off a boat. And this ruler of the synagogue, the nearest thing we could say is Ben, you see, he kneels before Jesus and he says, please, Lord, come and heal my daughter. She's about to die. And cutting the story short, what happens is that Jesus is going along and there's a big crowd and they're sort of nearly to the house where Jesus has agreed to go. And some men come from that house. You can see we could dramatize this. Works very well with kids. But you can see that happening. So they are asking Jesus, and this group of people come from the house. It's the men that have come from the house. And they say to the ruler, don't bother the teacher anymore. She's already dead. And Jesus said, don't listen to them, just believe. I don't know what people have said over you, but I'm saying if it was negative, don't receive what they've said. Just believe in the resurrecting power of Jesus. So he then goes and he finds all the women. So the men had gone to tell Jesus not to bother to come, but all the women wailing and crying and all sorts of things. And Jesus says, get out, don't be crying. It's not very nice, is it really, when someone dies, to say, get out, don't cry anymore. But Jesus did. And he goes upstairs. And if you want to flick through about five more things, you'll see a picture of what happened. Keep going. Oh, no, just there, that's fine. And Jesus says something to that little girl. Guess what he says to her? Get up. But he holds her hand and he says, little girl. Get up. You're a blessing. And a miracle happens. And then he says something really strange, because in Nain it was a public resurrection. In this case, he says, don't tell anybody about what's happened. That was interesting, wasn't it? Don't tell anybody about what's happened, he says. And what did he ask? What did he say to the parents? Anyone know that story? Give us something to eat. Wow. And I'll guess they did. I don't know if you'd been really poorly. Sometimes you can be, and you need to eat, don't you? When you've been poorly, you get that appetite back. My friends sitting here, God saved you miraculously, didn't he? And you couldn't eat because it was so painful and so horrible for you to eat, wasn't it? You felt sick all the time. You'd lost 2.5 stone. What a joy it must have been for Karen when she was saved to start eating again.
And that truly was a miracle of God's grace, resurrecting power of Jesus. But there was another girl many years ago when she had what they call chronic asthma, and she was so unwell that she had to be hospitalized, and they had to keep her alive, basically, on the support machines. Dave and Chris's daughter, called Lucy. And as we prayed for her, I felt I needed to go into the ward of, what do you call those places? Intensive care ward. And graciously, the staff let me go and pray over her. And do you know what I prayed over her? What Jesus did. I prayed that, believing. There were quite a number of people that were praying with me, and a number of people felt, well, she's going to die. It's inevitable she'll die. And that's what you were probably told, weren't you? But I was allowed the privilege of going into a ward with her all, well, she was completely unconscious. And I spoke to her in Jesus' name, and I said, come alive. Lucy, get up. Lucy, come alive. And you know, even though she was so-called unconscious, she heard that voice. And she recovered. And how old is she now? 40. Isn't God good? And why I'm sharing this and why I'm sharing these testimonies is that I have seen these wonderful things happen. And it's to give you hope, sometimes for your children. Sometimes you think, they're in a place of defeat. But I believe that the power of Jesus' name can lift and resurrect people. So the resurrecting power is resurrecting me, is resurrecting others. Hallelujah, God's good. The third story, and it's only just 3 minutes past 12, you'll be pleased to know, so I'm nearly finished. The third story is about Jesus' friend. We could go back one now if we would. I think there are three there. And the friend is called Lazarus. You will know the story. And Jesus fools them. He says, oh no, Lazarus is only sleeping. And then later they get the news that Lazarus has passed away. Lazarus has died. I love the fact that Jesus calls death sleeping, because he can wake you all up. In fact, the Bible tells us that. It says, those that sleep in the dust of the earth will rise. That's an amazing statement. And it's true of every believer in Jesus Christ. Oh, look, the children are here, which is good. It's a good sign, David. Soon finish. Where's your mummy, Navai? She was at the back. Can't see her now. Yeah, your mummy's there, Juan Carlos. Okay. Where was I? Oh, yes. It's a friend of his who's died. And the other friends, these sisters, say, if you had only been here, Jesus, he would not have died. And Jesus comes out with a statement and he says, I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
Let's all say that together. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And they're there by the grave and everybody is so sad, and Jesus identifies with their sadness. Because, do you know, as God, Jesus never intended anyone to die. Do you know that? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit never intended anyone to die. It was the punishment that we deserved. Death came into the world because of our sin. Here's the truth of Easter. Hallelujah. Here's the truth. Because Jesus died, you can inherit what? Eternal life. Not just life, because there's a big difference between these three people that I've mentioned up here.
there's a big difference between what happened to them. There's quite an amazing, amusing story, you know. Lazarus has just come to life again, and the Pharisees are so upset about him proving he's the Son of God by bringing him back to life. But they say, well, let's kill him. Let's kill Jesus. Let's get rid of Jesus. And let's kill Lazarus as well, because he's the evidence. Isn't that amazing? Someone comes back to life, and they think, well, let's kill him. If Jesus can bring him back to life once, he can do it the second time. And yet they don't see that. They think, we'll get rid of the evidence. But these people, though they were brought to life again, eventually died. But they'll be in glory. They will receive eternal life. There's a man in our church here, normally sits where, sits over there in the middle there, called Ray. You know Ray Waters? He has been saved from death three times. In fact, he died the last time, died at least twice, but people kind of did what it's called, bringing him back to life. What do they do? Thank you. Resuscitated him three times. Last time he had a heart operation. But when he was 39, he was expected to die then. And I remember my dear friend Brian Pullinger praying against the spirit of death. That was a strong thing to do. It was a really strong prayer meeting. But we prayed for him at 39 to come alive. Then when he was in his late 50s, he was on holiday in Mallorca, and he had a heart attack then. And he nearly died. Well, he virtually was dead. But in his faith, he held on to a piece of material of the, you know, like when people turn the curtains round you when you're poorly and they don't want other people to see how poorly you are. He held on because he believed that was the hem of Jesus' garment. What an act of faith. I want to be healed, he was saying. So he was resurrected. It was very complicated. Come on in, don't worry. It's nice to see how polite you are as you come in. So I've just given you another example of someone I know who has been saved by the resurrecting power of Jesus three times. Do you think I'm making a point here? Yeah. Going to bring it to a close now. So what did Jesus do that made the difference? He spoke the word of life. And I want to say to people here today, when someone speaks the truth to you, a word, don't push it away. Think, no, that can't be for me. Receive it by faith. Receive it and take that upon yourself. As a word from God, the living God. Just in concluding, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42. This is what the resurrection of the dead is all about. Our earthly bodies, which die and decay, will be very different when they are resurrected. For they will never die. Our bodies now disappoint us. But when they are raised, they will be full of glory. They are weak now, but when they are raised, they will be full of power. They are, at the moment, natural human bodies. But when they are raised, they will be spiritual bodies. The scripture tells us that the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that's Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What came first was the natural, then the spiritual body came later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Every human being has an earthly body just like Adam's. But our heavenly bodies will be someday like Christ, the man from heaven. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? Whatever your circumstances, the resurrected King is wanting to have his resurrecting life in you. I think we need to sing a song. I think it's called Thine Be the Glory. Would the musician